Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
When Tillicum arrived at SeaWorld, he was attacked viciously, repeatedly by Katina and others. In the wild, it's a very matriarchal society. Male whales are kept at the perimeter in captivity. The animals are squeezed into very close proximity. Tillicum, the poor guy, is so large, he couldn't get away because he just is not as mobile relative to the smaller and more agile females. And where was he going to run? There's no place to run.
I think he spent a lot of time in isolation. SeaWorld claims that, oh, no, he's always in with the females. But, I mean, from what I saw, he was mostly put with the females for breeding purposes, and he didn't spend a lot of time, with the other whales.
It's for his own protection. He gets beat up. And so by segregating him, it provides a physical barrier so the females can't kick his butt.
That's a clip from a 2013 feature-length documentary called Blackfish, which tells of the plight of a giant orca whale called Tillicum, incarcerated in SeaWorld. And our theme this week on Inside Hollywood is groundbreaking documentaries best watched on the cinema screen. I'm joined by Dee Reddy, pop culture journalist and podcaster. Dee, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
I saw Blackfish and I was greatly disturbed by it.
Yeah, it was a very, very disturbing film. I think it really caused a lot of us to take stock of how awful it is a thing to keep a wild animal, an intelligent wild animal, in a small place of captivity, just purely for the entertainment of tourists. And it had a huge impact, I think, on how we look at these sort of, what would have been formerly a fun day out for all the family. It's actually called the Blackfish Effect. It's had a dramatic impact on the business model of SeaWorld and Sealand in Canada and places like that.
The nature of the depression suffered by the whales, indicated by the fin.
Yeah, exactly. And what's really awful with Tillicum, the whale in question, was he was actually captured from the wild. So he went from actually living what would have been a normal life for an animal like him into very, very confined spaces. And then there was problems in that once he showed sort of aggression towards his trainers, he was used to sire some 21 other orcas, which led to a huge problem because obviously he had passed on whatever genetic traits that had led to that. But the attack that he did on his trainer was particularly vicious. It was a really, really shocking film.
Another film which is shocking as well is Michael Moore's Bowling for Columbine.
Yeah, this one, I think, would be, for my generation, probably a lot of people's gateway drug in terms of documentary films. It's sometimes, I think, he's got a very shocking style. Like, he deliberately tries to shock the audience and actually the people that he's talking to. But it's brave and it's actually sometimes funny the way that he does it. So a lot of people of my age would have really, really kind of gotten into documentaries that way. He basically took the events of the 20th of April 1999, where, at Columbine High School in Colorado, when two students went on a killing spree, which I think most people would be familiar with, and he sets about trying to find out what caused this, what caused two young people to be so violent, but also how did they get access to the guns?
And this is an extraordinary clip we have where Michael Moore is going into a bank.
Can I help you?
I'm here to open up an account.
Okay, what type of account would you?
I want the account where I can get the free gun.
Okay.
I'd spotted an ad in the local Michigan paper that said if you opened an account at North Country Bank, the bank would give you a gun.
You do a CD and we'll hand you a gun. We have a whole brochure here that you can look at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Once we do the background check and everything, it's yours to go.
Okay. All right, well, that's the account I'd like to open.
We have a vault, which at all times we keep at least 500 firearms.
500 of these you have in your vault?
In our vault.
Wow.
We have to do a background check.
At the bank here? Or?
At the bank, which we are a licensed firearm dealer.
Oh, you are? Mm-hmm. You're a bank and a licensed firearm dealer. What do I put for race? White or Caucasian?
Caucasian.
Oh, I knew you were going to make me spell the Caucasian. Is that right?
Yes.
Thank you.
I don't think that's the part they're going to be worried about.
you ever been adjudicated mentally defective, or have you ever been committed to a mental institution? Oh, I've never been committed to a mental institution. What does that mean? Have I ever been adjudicated mentally defective?
It would be something involved with the crime.
Oh, with a crime. Okay. So if I'm just normally mentally defective,
yeah,
but not criminal.
Exactly.
There you go, Mike.
Okay, thank you very much. Wow.
I have one personally.
That's a nice sanction.
It is, and it's a straight shooter. It's a straight shooter, let me tell you.
Wow. Sweet. Well, here's my first question. Do you think it's a little dangerous handing out guns in a bank?
I mean, I don't know much about banking security, Pat, but it strikes me that keeping 500 guns in your vault is a bit of a gimme for any potential robbers.
It's crazy.
It's madness. Yeah, but that clip is great, I think, because it does show the humour that he imbues all of his documentaries with, but particularly that one. The humour is based on just, how is this happening? How is this real life? How do these people think that this is an appropriate or normal way to go about your business?
Now, you also want to recommend a documentary that I haven't seen. It's called Grey Gardens. Explain.
This is a fantastic one from 1975. It was a really groundbreaking one made by two brothers, Albert and David Maisels. And it captures the really, really unique lives of two women, a mother and daughter, Edith Bouvier Beale and little Edie. So Edith Beale, her daughter, of course. They were living in absolute squalor in their house in East Hampton. It was a former mansion. And you've got that amazing thing where you can see how grand this house would have been, and now there's like wild animals pottering about eating their biscuits. It looks at the kind of complexities of their mother-daughter relationship and the sort of kind of codependency between them and the stranglehold the mother has, but also their connection to American aristocracy of sorts. They were cousins of the First Lady at the time, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. The former First Lady, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. What's really interesting about it is I think little Edie in particular, she had been a great beauty in her time. She would have, I suppose, come of age in the 1940s. And there's all these pictures of her as a very glamorous socialite. She actually did a line with Joe Kennedy Jr., who was the older brother of JFK.
Died in the war.
Yes, that's right. And the one that their father, Joe Kennedy, had originally earmarked.
As for the presidency.
Exactly. And so when she's talking about her much younger cousin and the, you know, the life that she's had, and just to say, little Edie had lost her hair at some point, so she's always wearing scarves on her hair and she's no eyebrows. She's still beautiful to look at, but you get this real sense that she has never gotten over that loss of the life that could have been and the resentment she has for it. It's an amazing film. Yeah, I definitely recommend it.
1975. From 2008, Man on a Wire, which celebrates a famous feat.
An unbelievable feat and kind of tells the story in the way of a heist, you know. This is based on the book of a tightrope walker called Philip Petit, who unbelievably performed an illegal, obviously, high wire walk between the Twin Towers in 1974. And it tells the story really well because it uses rare footage from that Petit himself would have had, still photographs from the walk. And then they have reenactments as well, which is where they really build that sort of heist thing. And then present day interviews. And the name of the book and the film come from what the police reported over their radios at the time. Man on a wire. Yeah.
A final one, In the Shadow of the Moon.
This, I think you'll really love if you haven't seen it, Pat. This came out in 2007. It's such a simple idea. Basically, they gathered all the remaining astronauts who were alive at the time who had ever walked on the moon and just asked them what it felt like being up there and looking back down on the Earth. And then they mixed their personal reflections with newly available at the time images and footage from NASA. And then they have this beautiful soundtrack to it as well. It was made by a guy from the BBC, David Singleton, and I've probably watched this more times than any of them on the list. It's really superb.
Well, it's called In the Shadow of the Moon. And Dee Reddy, thank you very much for joining.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of experience. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. published by Capital Client Group, Inc.